From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in the late 1940s when a club opened its doors to the public in Rochester, the Pithod Room at the corner of Clarissa and Troop Streets, a private club. But when that changed in 1949, it put Rochester on the jazz scene map. Our city became a regular stop on what was called the Chitlin Circuit. The venues in the system welcomed black and brown musicians during the Jim Crow era practices. And while there were more than two dozen jazz clubs in Rochester during that time, the Pithod was special. Not only did it host famous artists like Stevie Wonder, Jimmy Smith, Alice McLeod Coltrane, Irene Reed, Rochester's own Roy McCurdy, it also created a sense of community. Our friends at the Clarissa Uprooted Project, whose research helped us paint the picture of that time, say that musicians who played at the Pithod struck up lifelong friendships with patrons there. The club closed in 1973, and some people in the city say the close-knit community that it created went with it. What can we learn from the lessons of the Pithod, and how can they be applied to our lives in 2024? We'll explore some of those questions this hour in different ways. One, in the sense of community building. Leaders at the Rochester Area Community Foundation have been studying what they call the State of Black Rochester. This Saturday, at the official Juneteenth celebration in Rochester, they will debut a new multimedia project that examines a range of black experiences in the area. The 2023 State of Black Rochester project is a fresh take on a similar report from 2013. Organizers say a key takeaway is how the loss of the village has affected the community. And then there is the exploration of the Pithod's lessons in terms of jazz. As the founders of a local Juneteenth event gear up for this month's activities, they say we need to look at Juneteenth through a broad lens. Not only does it mark the end of slavery, of course, but it is also meant to recognize and honor the accomplishments of the black community. Those achievements include contributions in jazz. As the city prepares for the annual Rochester Jazz Festival, there is a separate event to tell you about. We're going to talk about this remarkable jazz history here with our guests this hour. Gloria Johnson-Hovey's been doing this for a number of years now. Welcome back, the founder and director of the Rock Juneteenth 5K Run and Walk, a retired RCSD school social worker. Hello, Gloria. Thanks for being back with us.
Hi, Evan. Thank you so much for having me again.
Reverend Myra Brown is with us, lead pastor at Spiritus Christi Church and founder of the Spiritus Anti-Racism Coalition. Reverend, welcome back to the program.
It's great to be back with you, Evan. Thank you for having me.
Nita Brown is with us, the owner of Montsaware, who is been working as part of the committees putting these events together. We're going to talk about the history of jazz. And Nita, it's great to have you. Tell listeners a little bit about what Montsaware is.
Well, thank you, Evan, for inviting me. Excited to be here. So Montsaware, I am produces ready-to-wear and made-to-measure clothing. All my fabrics are from Ghana, and the production is done in Ghana. So I do all the designs in Rochester, New York, and we are located on Park Avenue, 367. So you can come in and get custom-made clothing all ready to wear. And I am very excited. It was a bit exciting to be working on this inaugural Juneteenth jazz event. It's been exciting.
Thank you for being here. And welcome as well to Nakia Washington, Program Officer for Equity at the Rochester Area Community Foundation. Thank you for being on the program today.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Evan, for having me.
What I want to do is I can't possibly tell you all the events that are going to be happening on and around Juneteenth, but we're going to go over a list that is central right here in Rochester, so you're aware of what's coming up. And then we're going to talk more specifically about some of these events. I'm going to start with raising the flag on June 14th. Gloria, what's going on?
Yes, this is very exciting. For a number of years now, we have been raising the flag. The city has been raising the flag, the Juneteenth flag, and that happens at City Hall at 11 a.m. on Friday, which is coincidentally Flag Day. Perfect timing. And then there's also Rock the Block, I believe, happening after that. So a really wonderful celebration is in store for the community.
And so that is on Friday. Friday is the 14th. I'm trying to keep all the dates because listeners may know that Juneteenth is next Wednesday, but you ought to know about these some of these pre- and post-Juneteenth events happening. So then June, let's see here. Oh, boy. I'm looking down the list here. Gloria, take us through the next one here. I think it may be Juneteenth jazz on Sunday, is that right?
Yes.
Is that right? Okay.
Uh-huh.
So from 1 to 8 p.m. this coming Sunday at the Highland Bowl, Rock Juneteenth Jazz is coming your way here.
Evan, I think there's a Saturday event that Nikki is related to.
That's why I do this. You know, I make these notes.
14, 15, 16.
Nothing is linear. Thank you, everyone here. So let's back up here. We're going to raise the flag on Friday, the 14th.
Correct.
On Saturday, the 15th. Nikia?
We have the MLK Commission Juneteenth Festival downtown at MLK Park. And that parade begins at 10 a.m. And then all the festivities, food vendors, and entertainment will all be available then.
All right, tell us again one more time where and when.
On June 15th at MLK Park is the MLK Commission's Juneteenth Festival.
And starts when?
Starts at 10 a.m. There'll be a parade. There'll be free admission to the Strong Museum all day long. There'll be national recording artist 7 Streeter, along with a variety of entertainment from local entertainers.
Okay, mm-hmm. So that is happening on Saturday. That takes us to Sunday. And Sunday is the 16th. The Rock Juneteenth Jazz event is going to happen from 1 to 8 p.m. at the Highland Bowl in Highland Park. It is a free event, but event goers do need tickets. So you don't have to pay for tickets, but they want you to get tickets in advance. And we will have them for you in on our show notes here. You can find them at Eventbrite. You can also find them at itsyourrace.com. More information there. So this event that's happening on Sunday, Rock Juneteenth Jazz. Gloria, you want to tell us a little bit about it first?
Yes, we're very excited to have our inaugural Rock Juneteenth Jazz event occurring. And it's taken a while, and it's finally getting here. So the work up until the event has been ongoing and met with a lot of support from the county and the city and our wonderful volunteers and community resources that are helping us put this together.
It's a lot of music.
It is a lot of music, a lot of cool music. Mm-hmm. Bringing jazz back to its roots, we like to say.
And that's happening at Highland Bowl. The forecast is perfect. It's going to be a beautiful, mm-hmm. wonderful day. Pretty much all day starting after lunch, all the way till just about sundown at Highland Bowl, Rock Juneteenth Jazz. Yeah. Now,
we have a great lineup, too.
Are you excited, Reverend?
I'm very excited. We have Eric Hevron Smith and the Swordfish Trio. We have Herb Smith and Freedom Trio, Jimmy Highsmith Jr., Serena Young, who's going to do some gospel jazz, Chelsea Chambers Smith. I mean, it's just and Ryan Johnson and the Rock City All-Stars. Mm-hmm. Amazing local bands who are just incredible. People do not want to miss this concert.
I mean, if you haven't seen, I remember the first time I saw Jimmy Highsmith, and I was like, this is what happens when music feels spiritual. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, like it just felt different to me, Reverend. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. They take you on a journey, right, where you just lose yourself. And that's what music is designed to do. It's designed to transform you and take you to a different place where just it's your happy place, right?
And this is happening June 16th. It is commemorating Juneteenth, which is June 19th. It's happening at a time when Rochester has its jazz festival. And I think I was surprised, Gloria, to find out this year. I mean, I know we talked a little about this last year. I think I was surprised to find out that this is not under the umbrella of the jazz festival, that this is its own event. This is not connected in any way. And should people be surprised about that? I mean, are you surprised at this point that you're not hooked up with the jazz festival?
I'm not surprised. It's disappointing. That there's not a Juneteenth presence at the CGI Jazz Festival, International Jazz Festival. This is also happening, and we should know this, during Black Music Month. So June has been dubbed Black Music Month by President Jimmy Carter, and President Biden signed it into a proclamation. So this is all very relevant, and it's not a mistake. It's not anything other than a very thoughtful plan. So we have Black Music Month, we have Juneteenth, and we have only had the Jazz Festival for many years. We've had the history of the Pathot Club, which is, the stepping stone for more Black jazz. And it is disappointing. And I think that it's something that jazz goers need to maybe notice for themselves when you're out and about at the Jazz Festival, which has a lot of wonderful musicians coming together and playing some awesome music. But where is the mention of Juneteenth? Are the musicians making announcements before or after? Are they doing any kind of dedication for their songs? It's a time for us to really take stock. And where has it been? And you know, so moving forward, this is where we're at. And since there was no absorption of Juneteenth, it just seems extremely wrong for me personally. I'm working closely with Reverend Myra with the 5K and my dear friend Nita. You know, we needed to do something about that. And I was not willing to ask someone that is so different from me to do something that is so needed for people like me, and that which would be absorbing Juneteenth into jazz. The two are married, so to have them separate is wrong. To have one,
but you felt there was no other way.
There was no interest. There was no it was not necessary. That was my takeaway from my interactions with getting some signage about Juneteenth, getting some Juneteenth flags, getting MCs to recognize. It's just, yeah, well, people can say and do what they want, but there was no impetus for pushing it forward. I also challenge the sponsors. You know, if I'm sponsoring an event, I think I would want to know, you know, how it's going to turn out. What are the plans for that event? And I know that there's a lot of liberties and personal ways that people that are actually putting it on, they can have. But I would think sponsors would be interested to know that, oh, there's nothing about Juneteenth. I would think artists would want to know, would like, oh, wait a minute, I haven't said anything about Juneteenth before in all of the times I've been performing at the festival. Why now? Well, yes, it should happen now. So once you know, and once you know, you're accountable.
All right, so before I turn to Reverend, let me just make sure I clarify one point for our listeners. What you said is that the response you got from the organizers of the Jazz Festival was that individual performers, if they want to make their own comments or acknowledgments, they can. It's just that the Jazz Festival is choosing not to sanction any official recognition, event, programming, et cetera. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. And that, to you, was not sufficient?
Correct.
Okay.
Correct. As the music came from enslaved people. And to not recognize the event of Juneteenth, the, you know, the end of chattel slavery, it's egregious. You can promote and make money off of continuing to make money off of the backs of enslaved people, but we're not going to discuss the plight, and we're not going to recognize that this awful thing happened. Something beautiful came out of this, the music, the sounds, the rhythms, but we're just interested in, you know, yeah, people coming in and making money and leaving.
Reverend, you want to add to that?
Yeah, I was just thinking that you asked the question, people are surprised that it's not connected. We actually did try to connect it to the Jazz Fest in 2022. And as Gloria is saying, the organizers weren't interested in, you know, connecting it in the way that made sense. You know, we thought that we knew that you can't have jazz actually without Juneteenth. Without Juneteenth, there'd be no jazz. Right. And so it just made sense to have them connected and to honor that history and to honor the people who created jazz, and to render them invisible really was a assault against the history of jazz and the people who created it, because enslavement itself renders black and brown people invisible. And now you have an organization saying that we're going to make it invisible again, but we're going to keep profiting from the genre. It just is not right. And so we decided that we needed to honor it. You know, we needed to create a jazz event that raises the flag, that honors the history, that thanks the people who created it for giving us this amazing gift, and then inviting the community to enjoy the gift that we had been given. And so I think it was really important for us to just step back and take stock of what is it that is really central and important here as we talk about being a justice community, as we talk about being a diverse community of people who, you know, who really want each other's best interest at heart. What is in the best interest of the ancestral community that created jazz? Is it to keep rendering them invisible? Is it to dismiss their histories? Is it to not see, make it central, a deep appreciation? Or do we just go on and profit from their work without any responsibility to its people? And we thought that we needed to correct that. And so we, out of that experience, I think with the organizers, has been born this amazing event, the inaugural Juneteenth jazz event. And it is amazing. And I think we're taking it back to where it needs to be.
And Reverend, if you did have a conversation with those organizers and they said, look, we don't want to render anyone invisible. Yeah. We just want to empower individual performers to have the microphone. They can say what they want. We want them to have that opportunity, and they very well may, and we will support that. Yeah. What would you say to that?
I would say that it's wrongheaded thinking, right? Because really the truth is that June 19th is the actual Freedom Day. Juneteenth is our Freedom Day. July 4th, not all of us were free, right? But we know that on June 19th, we were all free. And so, you know, this is not just Black people's story. It's the American story. It's the American story, and it's going to benefit individual performers to know that story and to keep telling that story to bring our community together. Otherwise, we just keep ourselves divided and we keep perpetuating these silos and people coming in and rewriting the story and starting that story where they think they want to start it as opposed to telling the story as it is.
So this is an independent event, Rock Juneteenth Jazz, from 1 to 8 p.m. this coming Sunday, June 16th, at the Highland Bowl in Highland Park. Is the door still open to link up in the future, or are you moving on?
I never like closing doors. I think that it's just it's simple. We can have a discussion. I think that's always good to reach out and resolve differences and come to an understanding, a place where, you know, it's like, okay, an understanding and the importance and a recognition that, yeah, this, we could do better. We could do better. We need to do better. I think the jazz festival, I think people love going to jazz festivals. I don't know if the word jazz is, the big thing that, okay, I'm going to the jazz festival all over the country, all over the world, right? But I think that it's also a music festival. Our jazz festival. I think that there has been, perhaps, I have heard from, and now I understand this, what I know is also on a, probably a pinhead, but the feedback that I get is that, oh, there wasn't a lot of jazz, but yeah, it was a really great festival. You know, so perhaps it should be named Rochester's Music Festival. And if you remove jazz from the title, then, you know, you see how that works for you.
Yeah, I like the open doors. Mm-hmm. I do. I like the open doors. And we actually have, we initiated requesting conversations so that we could keep those doors open. The organizers have not seen fit to want to have conversation with us so that we can figure out, you know, whether in the future what that could look like. But that would be on them. We've done our part. We've written letters to them. We've made phone calls. We've asked for meetings to discuss this and what it might look like. They have chosen to not want to come to the table and talk to us. And so, you know, I believe that those who are in the privileged position should take the longer walk. And so it's the walk that they must take if they'd like to talk about what those open doors might look like in the future. But we are here.
Nita, I know you've done a lot of work in preparation for these events. Anything that you want to add?
What I was going to say was what Reverend Meyer, before your speech, was it's a community event. And so it does make sense for the community to walk together. And so in answer to your question, I think it makes sense for us to, collaborate, create, do collaboration, do something together in future. So, yeah.
Well, so we've got Rocked Juneteenth Jazz on Sunday. Let's continue down the list. So now we've told you about the flag raising event, which is this Friday, June 14th. That's at City Hall.
Gloria. Yes.
Yeah. And then on Saturday, June 15th, starting at 10 a.m. at MLK Park, the event there. The 16th, Rock Juneteenth Jazz, 1 to 8 p.m. at Highland Bowl in Highland Park. And then I think we go ahead to next Wednesday, Juneteenth. Yes. And there's a number of things to talk about there. Let's start with the Juneteenth race and walk, Gloria. Go ahead.
Yes, we are very, very excited. This is our 8th annual Rock Juneteenth 5K run walk. So get your walking shoes on and join us. It is a live event and a virtual event, and or a virtual event. That virtual means that you register at itsyourrace.com, and you can register for the live one, which is at Genesee Valley Park Riverbend Shelter. And the virtual event means that you can walk or run from wherever you want, your favorite walking or running space. You don't have to be in the city of Rochester. You can be in California. You can be across the globe. Wherever you are, walk. Register at itsyourrace.com, and the monies go to the Civil Rights Heritage, construction of the Civil Rights Heritage Park.
The actual physical event is at 1 p.m.
It's at 1 p.m.
that afternoon.
Yes, uh-huh. And we are also having a jazz event after that. It worked out so well the last couple of years. It's part of our Juneteenth, our day of event. So yes, Ryan Johnson will be playing after at the Roundhouse Shelter, which is right across from the Riverbend Shelter. So there's no need to, get in your car and go any further than, just turn around and walk.
The Genesee Valley Park there.
Yes.
The other exciting thing is that, Evan, last year we added a kids' corner. So it's also a family event, So there were families that brought their children and their parents walked. And Melissa Parrish, who works with the children there, kind of has a kids' corner where they're doing stories and they're doing games and they're just engaging. Some of the young people decided to walk. So it really is a full community event and just very exciting to be thinking about how we might bring our community together around Juneteenth.
It'syourrace.com.
Yes.
To learn more, register. To get involved there, 1 p.m. Wednesday on Juneteenth, June 19th. That's next Wednesday at Genesee Valley Park's Riverbend Shelter there. There you go. And then what's happening at the Little Theater in Nakia, Washington? You want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So, Evan, we have the video premiere of The State of Black Rochester. It'll be hosted at the Little Theater. Doors open at 11:30. Guests can register on Eventbrite. The event is totally free. You can enjoy their famous popcorn, also a drink, and we'll watch the video. We'll also do a panel discussion with Simeon Bannister right after the video is over.
So that's happening. Doors open at the Little at 11:30 on Juneteenth.
Yes.
For that event as well. Everything that we're talking about, we'll have links and information in our show notes when this audio posts today, and that way you can navigate and find those if you're not scribbling down notes or making plans there. Nita, what did we miss? Have we covered the events pretty well?
I think, yes, you have. But one thing I want to say about the Juneteenth 5K walk run, it is truly a fun event. And I got to know of the race during COVID. That's how I met Gloria. They came to buy masks for the runners. And it's a really fun event. It's grown over the years that I've been connected to it. So I will encourage anyone to just register, come walk. And the registration fees go to a good cause. Yes. For the Civil Rights Movement. So that by itself, it's a bonus. for you.
It so, is. We also have wonderful vendors.
Yeah.
Nita also is one of our vendors. So we have a REI will be there. We have community resources that are going to be out giving information. Registering to vote will be there. There'll be a table there for them. There's a lot of reasons to come out and to enjoy the time with us.
And food vendors. Don't forget about the food.
Yes.
food. I'm a foodie.
Gloria is a force of nature. One of the reasons that these events have really blossomed in the last, what's the annual, how many races now?
Eight years ago,
let's go back a decade. If I go back a decade and you said to someone, happy Juneteenth on June 19th, what are the odds that they would have known what you're talking about versus today, Gloria?
They would not know. Their chances are good that they would not have an idea of what it was. And that's why, as a school district social worker, seeing Juneteenth events happen in some classrooms and not all classrooms, the school district does not absorb it all with, you know, major embrace. So that was frustrating for myself.
Didn't or still doesn't?
You know what? I probably can't talk to that directly,
but I
don't think that it is as widespread as it should be.
And certainly wasn't years ago.
And it certainly wasn't years ago. And so it was disappointing. And I thought, okay, I like to run. Maybe I can put a run together. And then I had some crazy ladies say that, yes, you could. And they, you know, encouraged me and gave me their information on the runs that they put together, and they were successful runs. And they said, no, they're all the encouragement. No, it's going to start out small, but you keep going. And I had, I wasn't always linked to Spirit S. The group that I linked with before, early stages of runs didn't make a lot of money, so they parted ways with me. And now it's just like I found a home with Spiritus and SPARC, Anti-Racism Coalition, and, you know, their mission to build this Civil Rights Heritage Park in the home of Frederick Douglass. Yeah, you can't get any more empowered than, you know, working with them.
Well, can I ask all of you, when we think about next Wednesday, you know, there's, because of the way this country has, from the federal government on down, started to embrace Juneteenth and recognize, et cetera, there's going to be some people, certainly not all listening, but some people will be off work that day. Some people will view that as just another sort of federal holiday day off situation. Somebody once said, you know, you've made it as a holiday when people just view it as a chance to flip burgers and take the day off work. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I suppose, but I also feel like every holiday has its own meaning. Are you concerned that Juneteenth gets to the point where people view it as a possible day off and aren't thinking about meaning? Or do you think that there is a real absorption of meaning that's happened, and especially in recent years, Gloria?
I think definitely in recent years, and it's very individualistic about it. You know, people have to make those decisions for themselves and for their families. I didn't grow up celebrating Juneteenth. I celebrated July 4th. I feel gypped. And learning about it at an older age, it was disappointing personally. So, you know, I think we have to understand that, you know, everybody's starting in a different space, but just get started. And it doesn't have to be anything more than like, okay, let's sit and think about this. Have some books in your classrooms. I substituted in a class and there was nothing that was happening in the classroom. I asked if I could read a story to the children, and they said I was given permission. And I was pleasantly surprised that the students knew what Juneteenth was. So that was remarkable for me, that more, I think just about all of them knew. It was a second grade classroom, and but there was nothing planned. And I guess I would like teachers to plan, you know? Don't make it come down from a mountain. You know the date, and you're responsible for the education of all students. I think that we have to take stock. You know, what does it mean? You get to determine with your family how you want to talk about it. But there are a lot of wonderful events to participate in, family events, you know, just doing something on your own, going for a walk and just thinking about that. I always think about Harriet Tubman. Yeah. And doing the 5K run walk, it was like, you know, well, Harriet Tubman, you know, walked and walked and walked and ran and ran and ran and ran over and over again. And, you know, so, yes, we can walk with, you know, people in mind and pay honor and tribute to our ancestors.
Reverend?
You know, I'm not averse to people, you know, having food on a holiday. but I just got back from Ghana. And I think there are lots of opportunities for education that we just didn't learn here in the U.S. That's particularly connected to our ancestral story of those who were enslaved and brought over the Middle Passage that I think is important to educate around Juneteenth. And so some years, you know, we've taken the time to just go live and use as opportunity to pre-event to just educate people leading up to Juneteenth about those stories that we may not have heard. You know, like I learned in Ghana about the stories of the last bath, right, that the Africans who were being taken from the lands who went to the river and, you know, that when they knew that they were going to die and they didn't think that they were going to make it and they didn't know what the future was going to be, they would go to the rivers and they would release themselves, their essence in the rivers so that those who would come after them, everything that they, their hopes, their dreams, their vision for a better life, a better world would be released into those waters. And it was kind of a sacred practice, a ceremonial practice. Now, the enslavers did not know that when they were taking them to the last bath, what they thought they were just cleaning them, it really was the best thing they could have done because they were allowing them to tap into kind of this historical ancestral ceremonial practice. And what does that mean for the people who come after them, who step into those waters, who can speak to the spirit of those ancestors, right, who can have kind of this this experience that you can't quite explain. So I think that's one story, right, that's connected to the history of Juneteenth. But there are many stories, right, that can help us to have a deeper appreciation of what the ancestor story is, stories that we can really bring us together and have us really rethink how we use power, right? How we use authority. Like, what is it that we're called to do as a people? What mistakes did we make that we shouldn't make that might have the same elements but look differently now in this century, in this generation, right? In this era that we're in. It's part of why we're talking about, right, the state of Black America, right? Because those things find their way in if we don't talk about them, if we don't break them down, if we don't unpack them, if we don't do our work to understand, you know, what are we being called to do and why. And that's why, for me, Juneteenth is so important, that it becomes more than just a day, you know, to throw some burgers, you know, on the grill and to just enjoy a day off. You know, there is learning that we need to do, that we have to keep doing in order to make our world better. And no better time to do that than on Juneteenth.
Before I turn to your colleagues across the table, let me just add, Reverend, that you and I have spoken on this program in past years leading up to Juneteenth about, you know, how at times there is a sensitivity to, is it a happy Juneteenth? Is it a celebration? Is it a commemoration? And I respect a wide range of views, of course, on this. Where I've kind of come to as a white guy is thinking, I mean, Juneteenth should be a powerful day of celebration, but the celebration is a little bit tempered by the fact that we had to get to Juneteenth in the first place, that our history was as dark as it was. However, I want to honor, if you're going to honor freedom, if you're going to celebrate freedom, how do you not truly celebrate and appreciate it for everyone? So that's my mindset where I am today. I keep listening to people who, you know, urge me to think in different ways about it. It's complex, but it's not just about flipping burgers. So.
That's right. It is complex. That's right. It is complex. And you're right. Like, there are two pieces to Juneteenth, right? It's understanding it, learning from the past, kind of the Sankofa, right, moment. And then there is the celebration, right, of freedom. I think we should always celebrate freedom, right? And so I think it is a day where both of those things are happening simultaneously.
Well, let me ask Nita how you think about that.
Well, it's interesting because I was born in Ghana. I migrated here to come to college, right? And Texas was my home state. And I heard of Juneteenth then because a lot of Black Texans celebrate it. So when I think of Juneteenth, for the average person, I think if even there's no education attached, it's they're going to ask the question, why? Why is it necessary to have a federal holiday? Just by it being a federal holiday and being acknowledged, people are going to ask themselves why. They're going to figure out why. They're going to go to Juneteenth parties. So just having the awareness, I think it's a big first step. And then we can go on into it. So, yeah, let people celebrate. I mean, look at MLK Day. Not people get it off. Not everybody do service of act. But at least that's one day people ask, why is it that important for us to, for federal government to give us a holiday and employers to pay us to stay home?
I think that's very wise.
Yeah. So I think it's a good, you know, I think it's a good first step. And I think for the broader community, just now people are going to question why isn't even a federal holiday? So by definition, people are going to find out different.
Do you think when they ask that question, they'll be saying, oh, I don't know much about this. Why is this holiday? Why do some people have off? What is different? What is this about? Or do you think they'll ask in a cynical fashion?
I think it's irrelevant the how they ask it, but the question is when people start asking why. Like Simon Sinek said, the why needs the next. At least it would be bad if they just don't even want to bother with it. But I think to get people to start being, I mean, why is a form of engagement, right?
Sure, yeah.
You engage in it, whether it's cynical or not. So,
Nina, how come we haven't spent more time together on this program? I enjoy talking to you.
Well, you know, I've...
Because well, you're very busy, probably.
No, now that you've opened the door, I'll be here every 5 minutes.
Nina's the owner of Montsalaire, Nakia Washington, Program Officer for Equity at the Rochester Area Community Foundation. How do you view this question about the way we think about next Wednesday, this important event?
So I've been thinking myself and educating myself over the past few years. And personally, I think it's a time for us to recognize and appreciate our ancestors, our history, our culture, just our current day-to-day norms, things we do with our families. Definitely a time to educate ourselves, whether you know about Juneteenth or not, but to also unlearn those behaviors or patterns that you have, you know, come upon or learned as you're trying to educate yourself about your history, your culture, the trueness of it. It's a time for celebration. You know, we've come so far as Black people, but we still have so many challenges and disparities that we face every day and throughout the years. And just to wrap everything up, an action plan. What are your next steps? Once you've learned all these things, you've celebrated, you've recognized your ancestors and your culture, what do you do next? Are you just going to go back to work the next day doing the same old same? Or are you going to, you know, participate in the Juneteenth Jazz Festival as a vendor and help promote? Are you going to go purchase Ghana Ware? So are you going to come and understand the state of Black Rochester from 2013 to now? What are you going to do next? How are you going to educate your children or your family? What happens after the fact?
Well said. Listeners, questions, comments, if you want to send notes, the connections at WXXI.org. You can do that, connections at WXXI.org. If you wanted to call the program, 844-295-TALK. It's 844-295-8255. 263-WXXI if you're from Rochester, 263-9994. And I know that from Irondequoit beyond, like there's we're not getting all of the events that could be on your calendar. You should check with your local communities. My guess is there's a lot going on. Although I wonder, Gloria, I mean, if you look around, do you feel like there's enough going on?
Oh, there's never enough. There's always room for one more. So I think that, if there's not something that, you know, piques your interest, then you create it.
Yeah, no, that's an interesting
so
point.
If you if you enjoy cooking, if you enjoy baking, then how about you do something using your skill, your talent, your interest, and create an event. So I think there's always room for that. There's a lot of wonderful things going on, and I wish that we could, you know, attend to them all. And one thing I think that we do need to do, we've discussed this, within the Juneteenth groups that are putting things on is really more collaboration. And so we're not missing events because of other people's events and the planning. And so since it is getting bigger, the Rochester celebrations are getting bigger. And we don't want people to, you know, have to choose between things. We want them to be all events to be attended to. I think we can do better with now our collaboration.
Yeah, it's collaboration, not competition.
Mm-hmm. You've threaded the needle pretty well on that this year. But Myra, you want to add to that?
I was just thinking, when I think of Juneteenth, I think of red Kool-Aid.
Okay.
Right? Like, most Black families have grown up on red Kool-Aid. And it was really just a few years ago that I realized that it was connected to Juneteenth. And I think most families don't even know
it's
why.
It's connected to Juneteenth.
Red
well,
drink.
Because in the historical...
Not necessarily Kool-Aid.
The historical celebrations of Juneteenth always had a red drink to it. And so I think what it evolved in with most Black families is, you know, we didn't even know why we were drawn to having red Kool-Aid at the dinner table. And then when you look back and you start to look at those historical things, like, that is something that came through. Some of the other parts of Juneteenth that used to be celebrated in Rochester so many years ago, as we stepped away from those, what was left, though, was that red Kool-Aid that we drank, right? And so I think there are these cultural practices.
And the velvet
that
cake.
Were all, and the velvet cake, right? That were always attached to the celebration of Juneteenth. And so, again, it becomes part of educating people. Like, you wonder why that Kool-Aid was so good and why it was in everybody's house.
Big punch bowl,
right? That's right, because there was a historical connection to Freedom Day. And so we're just really reclaiming those stories and those histories.
All right. Before I get to the phones, let me a question from the audience sent in. It's one thing to say happy Juneteenth. Is it okay for a white person to wish Black people a happy Juneteenth?
Why not?
Yeah.
Personally,
yeah.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, here.
And
yes.
It's the
Reverend.
Attention. Uh-huh. Are you trying to be mean and malice, or are you really trying to appreciate?
I hope
yes.
This is a sincere. I'm asking this from the audience, assuming that this is a sincere.
Yeah,
nothing.
I think
Reverend?
So.
Yes.
I would see that as the same as saying Happy 4th of July, right? We say Happy 4th of July, so yeah, Happy Juneteenth, right? Uh-huh. The day that we all came to, that our nation came to itself to say we should all be free.
Yes. To Nakia's point, if you have any malice in your heart on that, then the answer is no, that's not okay for you to say that to anybody.
Please
don't say that to anybody with any mockery or like, no, obviously not. But otherwise, the guests say, yes, it should be.
Yes.
Absolutely. Okay.
Absolutely.
Appreciate that. It's connections at WXXI.org. Let's see here. Your phone calls. I think we have one we can grab here. This is Eve in Rochester. Hello, Eve. Go ahead.
Hi, Evan. I want to thank these women for being so incredibly brave for calling out the jazz festival. And there should be inclusion, but they have decided not to include the African-American community in any meaningful way. And it's so disappointing. But I do want to make one comment. I believe that the Jazz Festival, which is owned by two men, white men, that it is a privately owned organization. They benefit from running the Jazz Festival. It is not, it's presented as a community-wide event, but it is privately owned. I just want people to understand that.
Well, is that your way of saying, Eve, that the, you know, whether it's funding agencies, government, the city of Rochester has supported it, are you calling into question the support for it on those terms?
Well, there are all kinds of sponsors. I understand that. But there are still two people who head this organization, and they obviously recruit the sponsors. And the sponsors get a lot of attention for being the sponsors of this because it's internationally known now. It's not as much hometown, I think, as we would think it is. It should be more hometown. It should reflect the culture and the history of our area. And for jazz, that's very important. Have I answered your question?
I'll let the panelists respond. Thank you for the phone call, Eve.
I appreciate that,
welcome.
Eve. I appreciate your comments there for sure. I would say help us get the word out, you know, put it around in your network for sure. You know, cultural appropriation is not it's not a new idea. And, you know, and I think that it's really important, as you say, to reclaim jazz as a community event and a historical event from the people who created it. And that's what we're trying to do. And we're looking forward to, you know, just celebrating jazz for its worth and what and its history, and to have the community come out and join us. So I hope that you'll join us on Sunday and bring your friends and neighbors and let's have some fun.
So the event that the Reverend is talking about is Rock Juneteenth Jazz from 1 to 8 p.m. this June 16th, that's Sunday, in the Highland Bowl at Highland Park. It's a free event. They would like you to get tickets in advance because they have some serious, serious music on stage. And so please get tickets in advance if you go. Go ahead, Gloria.
Yes, thank you, Eve, for your comments. We really appreciate that and, you know, the work that we do, but also having, you know, other voices, you know, talk to it. I also want to mention, big mention, that our jazz event is benefiting two amazing spaces, so 501(c)s. So first is the Black Community Focus Fund, which is steadfast in the construction of the Civil Rights Heritage Park, but also a small 501(c), small is wonderful building, Agape Haven of Abundance. So we are encouraging people that come to the free event to scan the QR codes and donate to these two amazing causes. The Agape Haven of Abundance is a program for children before school and after school, run by Julia Oakley. And she does amazing partnerships with people and getting children to participate in learning and experiences that they would not otherwise be available to that. So they're in the most challenging zip code. So we want people to look them up, Agape Haven of Abundance, and see the good work.
And Evan, I think that's what sets us apart from the International Jazz Fest is that our fundraising reinvests back into the community. And I think that's really an important piece. It's kind of what Eve is saying, that when you have kind of a private company, they, you know, you don't know where those funds are going and how they're being used. But we always know in our events that we are reinvesting back into the community that so much is often taken away from. And so that's why we're just really excited to be supporting Agape Haven and the Black Community Focus Fund.
And I know, Nita Brown, that part of the event on Sunday is not just music, but a little history for the music goers who are going out to Rock Juneteenth Jazz. And I'm thinking about what I learned in the last decade about Pithod, just for as an example. And there's this saying that I think of sometimes that, you know, eventually all graves go unattended, which is kind of a dark and sad thing to think about. But it's a way to it was brought up to me as a kind of comfort. Whatever bad day you're having, whatever problems feel like it's the weight of the world, it will pass. And eventually all of this will pass and you will get through it. And then eventually no one will even remember you existed and don't worry about it, which is kind of a strange and dark thing to think about. But as more time passes, I think about something like Pithod, which in its day was this remarkable cultural touchstone.
Right.
And now, I think we just passed 50 years since the closure of Pithod. And you know, I didn't really know that story well after a decade moving to Rochester.
Right.
And I don't know how many Rochesterians do, and I'm not saying it's their fault. And there's a lot of work to keep history and stories and our culture and our families and traditions alive. But I think it's, you know, it's kind of amazing when you think about Pithod and its day and how few people know about that.
It is. And I have to give a shout out to the public library. They had an exhibition and they had the Pithod Club as part of it. And I'm not sure whether it's still up at the library. But what I wanted to have in one of the flyers, the back of it, was just a brief general history of jazz, which is a uniquely American art form, right? And that's basically what I was going to try, not try, what I'm going to have on the back of one of our flyers. So anybody who picks up the flyer, take it home. They can read, oh, this is what jazz is and how it came about. And, you know, we have the Pithard Club on our flyers and posters, so at least people will know the mention of it. They'll carry the history on with them.
I mean, like, if I could go back in time, like, that would be like pretty high on the list of, I just want to hang for a night and see what that is like. Wouldn't that be something?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. I think there's a special flyer, right, that refers to the Pithard Club that each runner will receive.
We created. Yeah. Amber Stokes created the art. So every year, Rock Juneteenth 5K creates a poster that gets emailed out to all of our participants. And so we're honoring the Pithard Club and the members of it for their history and getting us, you know, started with this.
Well, here we go. About a minute left here. So if listeners missed it, starting this Friday, the raising of the flag commemorating Juneteenth is happening on Friday at City Hall. You'll see that flag, and that really kind of kicks off a series of events that's happening. On Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. at MLK Park, you have an event that goes for how long there, Nakia?
Till 8 p.m.
Oh, that's an all-day event.
Juneteenth
Festival is on Saturday the 15th. June 16th, as we've been talking about, Rock Juneteenth Jazz at the Highland Bowl in Highland Park from 1 to 8 p.m. And then on Juneteenth, the doors open at 11:30 a.m. at the Little Theater for an event. You want to just briefly mention, I keep calling it a film.
So it is the relaunch to 2013 State of Black Rochester. We had over 27 contributors provide us with insight and education on their respective areas and talk about the disparities, the challenges, and the accomplishments of our Black people here in Rochester.
That is on Juneteenth, and then on Wednesday, June 19th, next Wednesday, it is, of course, the annual Rock Juneteenth Race and Walk. It'syourrace.com for more information. The physical race and walk start at 1 p.m. Genesee Valley Park's Riverbend Shelter, and they're going to have jazz afterwards as well from 4 to 6. So that is to say nothing of the events that may be happening wherever you are if you're not in Rochester proper, and there's probably a lot. I want to thank our guests for being here. Gloria Johnson-Hovey, thank you for taking time and telling the story again. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Evan.
Reverend Myra, thank you. Always good to talk to you.
Same here. I'm looking forward to all these amazing events.
Nita Brown, owner of Montsoware, thank you for being here, Nita.
Oh, thank you, too. And I'm looking forward. I'm excited for the race, especially.
Nakia Washington from the Area Community Foundation, thank you for being here as well.
Thank you. Busy weekend coming up.
More connections coming up.